welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everyone is having an awesome day today. A lot of stuff going on as always. Had a lot of people email me about the product of the week. We do have it up. It is the beet juice powder on sale for 10% off. Just wanted to let you guys know it is on the website as far as on sale of product of the week and is active. And other than that, how are you doing today, Deb?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful. It's 85 degrees here. It's supposed to cool off here next week. It'd be kind of nice. But I think you had another story on some more information on the school shooting, didn't you?
Well, yes. I mean, this is involving more now the aftermath of what we're trying to see of, you know, both sides trying to come up with ideas on how to prevent this stuff from happening, whether it's staged, whether it's a false flag, making sure that our kids in school systems have the ability to be protected. You know, we have jewelry stores that are always protected by firearms, banks that are protected by firearms, movie theaters a lot of times, even now with a lot of law enforcement, sometimes are protected by firearms, all these places. But then you have a very specific gun-free zone that's actually legally described as a gun-free zone. You're not allowed to carry a firearm on campus, even if you're legally allowed to do so. And pretty much almost every school. And now you see what the leftists are doing, as I talked about yesterday. They tried to twist and fudge basically numbers to make it seem that a handgun was going to be defenseless against a firearm. We talked about that in detail if you want to hear about it. Well, now the leftists are starting to say that if you arm teachers, even a few of them, that the teachers are now going to be inclined to execute black and Hispanic children. Stacey Patton said yesterday, no, they're saying on CNN and Washington Post now. Now, this is the rebuttal to that. She goes, putting guns into the hands of school teachers would be extraordinarily dangerous for black and Latino students. I quote, that's what she said. She goes on to say, how long would it be if Trump's plan became reality before teachers shoot a black student that invokes I feared for my life defense because they hear this from police officers? CNN Van Jones voices another similar opinion last night and says, if you just start passing around guns in school, given some of the biases that we've seen now, you might end up having these guns used against students by the teachers in ways that are not good. Now, this is very, very, very twisted logic argument, and this is, again, using the fear tactics that they're so good at in the mainstream media. Nobody has talked about just handing guns out to teachers and saying, hey, use this if you need to do so. If you feel like you're in fear of your life, do so. This is not what anybody has implied, nor is anybody recommending. I would never imply that. What they have specifically done at my school that I graduated from at Southeastern University, there are about 30 individuals that are staff, anywhere from, you know, professor faculty to staff members that have applied. The sheriff's department runs them through a rigorous background check. They also do a psychological profile on them to make sure they can handle this. They then have to take classroom work as far as discussions, tests, lectures, to make sure they understand the laws and the principles of carrying a firearm and using it in essentially a defensive manner. Then they have to do 30-hour class on firearm training as far as with active shooting drills, shooting from cover, shooting while moving, reloading, all kinds of aspects. And then at that point, if they pass all that, they are deputized and are allowed to carry a firearm on campus, and they have to continually qualify once a year. Now, already right there, they've shown that when you start having the classroom testing, the firearm testing, the rigorous training, you already have a huge attrition rate. But a huge portion of the professors, once they get into that, if they're not mentally capable of handling all that, they just drop out and say, hey, this is not really what I thought it was going to be. I'm going to drop out. To the point where Southeastern had a significant amount of people apply for this. And at the end of the day, I think total, we had 31 people all in all that passed everything and were finally approved. And there were over 100, from what I heard, that actually originally started in the pilot program. So this logic that they're using, that teachers are just going to start saying, oh, I'm in fear of my life, I'm going to shoot a kid now in my class because they're black or Hispanic, is now intentionally trying to push the race card to use it against the true logical aspect of allowing some teachers that are qualified to carry firearms in class. So what the next step they're going to say is, well, if you support teachers carrying firearms in class, you're a racist. You're a racist because you want teachers to be able to protect themselves. themselves and the students. This is a very irritating aspect to me because they will not address true common sense aspects of being able to defend yourself. They only want to spew lies and distort the truth in order to push the only option that they have put on the table now, the only option, and that is basically confiscating firearms and banning firearms. So again, it shows you they do not care about the protection of students. They do not care about protecting anybody or keeping people's lives safe. It was already seen now. It's a clear agenda to only take firearms away from law-abiding citizens. But that is one thing I wanted to bring up today, Dad, when I saw that article, just so the listeners, if you start hearing about this, you kind of understand when you hear it that this is just pure propaganda, again, from the mainstream media.
Well, remember this. Gosh, I'm trying to say this without sounding like I'm a nut. When you make comments like Hillary Clinton did, I believe she called a young black man, you know, apex predators or something like that. Apex predators. Now, it may not have been apex predators, but it may have been something else. But it was said. That's what she said. Something to that effect. And you see what happened with Trayvon Martin and Zimmerman. And Trayvon Martin's like 6'1", 17 years old. Of course, they showed his little 12-year-old pictures on TV all the time. I mean, the guy was a complete and total hood rat's what he was. I mean, he's awful. He's a complete career criminal at 17. And the sad part about it is, Austin, is that the people that are saying this are playing on the whole fears of what happened with Trayvon Martin, the little 12-year-old,
yep,
the 17-year-old apex predator. Now, the problem I have with all of that is this. If a teacher is in a classroom and there's an apex predator in that room, the person can be black, the person can be white, the person can be an M13 gang, Hispanic, the person can be Russian mafia. It was still, their parents are, they've been raised, you know, basically through intimidation and beating people up, and they like to beat people up. Racial qualifications has no barrier here, and for these guys to do this and say stuff like that really irritates me, because they're a bunch of redneck white boys that like to do drugs that, quite frankly, if they attacked you, the only way you wouldn't be beaten half to death is you'd have to shoot them. Now, I'm being really straight here. I'm just being real honest with everybody here. And there are black kids the same way, that they're basically on drugs and just all beefed up, you know, either on steroids or whatever, and you'd have to shoot them. Same thing with Hispanic kids. The problem is what they're doing here is this. They're using this rule we have in Florida that you don't have to retreat, and if you're in fear for your life, that you can kill somebody. They are going to be trained not to do that, you know, if they go through an extensive training program like Sheriff Grady Judd did. And quite frankly, I taught at the university, a Federal Correctional Institute. I was teaching for Tallahassee Community College up in Tallahassee for an entire year. I went out to the prison, and I was dealing with apex predators in the classroom. Guys who basically were convicted felons, who'd been in prison for 5 to 10 to 15 to 20 years, some of them for murder. And they were the students that I had in the classroom. Now, I only had one confrontation with one of these nuts one time. The rest of them were always really, really nice. And the guy who was the nut who I had a confrontation with was a white guy. So here's the thing. Whenever they pull the race card out, you got to ask yourself a question. Why are they pulling the race card out? Why are they calling these people, you know, who are going to be shot, you know, the blacks or the Hispanics? Why? Because this is what they do. Their father's a liar, and he's the father of lies, and this is their Luciferian master, and this is what they do. I mean, you know, if they're going to say anything about his prejudice, why don't we talk to Hillary Clinton, who called black boys apex predators, instead of saying that any boy who's geeked up or big or large in classroom, black, white, or Hispanic, can be an apex predator. It doesn't make a difference. But they don't want to do that, because they don't want to give – when you give them an alternative that's going to be viable and it doesn't include confiscation of guns, they simply don't want to hear it, Austin. They don't have any interest, yep, in hearing anything besides confiscation. The problem is it's like drugs. If a person – if all of these kids, and most of these kids, like all the ones I've ever found out, who are taking these drugs or committing these horrible acts of violence – well, why don't we just kind of ban those particular drugs that cause people to do that? Oh, there's a thought. Whoa, did I just say ban the drugs that are causing people to kill other people? Yeah, why don't we do that? Why don't we just go ahead and pull those drugs off the market? Oh, that's right.
They're part of the pharmaceutical industrial complex, which is part of the, you know, educational. They're all controlled by the same guys, the Rothschild boys. You know, the globalists, the Bushes, the Fords, the Rockefellers, all these guys. That's who controls all of this stuff with all the money from the Sabbatean Frankists. That's who's doing all this. And again, remember, gun sales now in Florida have gone off the roof again. Gun shows sales are off the roof again because they're talking about confiscation again. And every time they do this, they sell a lot more guns, a lot more armament, a lot more everything else. So this whole thing is so twisted and so convoluted, Austin. It just absolutely is ridiculous that we've talked, and we've talked about this now for almost 2 weeks, but I'm done with that. By the way, Trump is now blasting Jeff Sessions, saying that it is disgraceful because of his investigations into FISA abuses. This is from Zero Hedge. After a months-long detente between President Trump and his attorney general, former Alabama Senator Jeff Sessions, it appears tensions between the two men are flaring up once again. By the way, Trump needs to fire this guy, just period. This guy's totally compromised. Trump supplied one of his harshest rebukes of Sessions in a mid-morning tweet castigating him for asking the Inspector General, an Obama guy, according to Trump, to investigate potentially massive FISA abuse. Trump said the investigation will take forever, has no prosecutorial power, and already late with reports on Comey, etc. Is it IG an Obama guy? Why not just use the Justice Department of lawyers? He goes, this is disgraceful. He goes, why is Jeff Sessions asking the Inspector General to investigate this stuff? Why not use disgraced Justice Department lawyers? I mean, this is what Trump's tweeting out. So another thing that's happened this week, which is a very big, big deal, Jared Kushner has lost his top secret clearance to the White House. He's no longer going to get the briefings the president gets every day. I'm going to say this again. Jared Kushner is a Mossad agent. He's working with the Mossad, with Israeli intelligence, to supply all of the information that Trump gets every single day. And I guarantee you, they've done investigations and backgrounds into this guy. And he's got a shady past, and now he loses access to top secret intelligence, which is about time. And this is again from Zero Hedge, and a move that represents a serious blow to Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, standing in the West Wing. Politico reports that all White House aides working at the highest level intern security clearance were informed on Friday that they have had their clearance downgraded from top secret to SCI level to secret, walling them off from most sensitive information. We warned you on this show over a year ago, back in January when Trump took office, and in February a year ago, what was going on with Kushner and who he was. And I have said it over and over and over and over again, and I'm still saying it. This man needs to be taken out of the White House. Ivanka needs to be taken out of the White House. All this nepotism stuff has to stop, and Trump needs to bring people in there that are going to be loyal to him that are not loyal to Israel first. That's how I look at all of this, Austin. What do you think?
I agree with you. I mean, we called that from the very beginning with him. I mean, Kushner has got a very, very shady background with a lot of very shady people. And it's bad enough Trump has had some of the same stuff with the casinos and everything else. But the issue that I had with Kushner was that Trump was elected, was legitimately elected. We voted for him. Kushner did not have a single background in anything that he came into Trump with as far as anything in politics or any aspect of how to help out with anything. He did not get elected, and he was immediately placed in almost a top-tier role side-by-side with Donald Trump the entire time, which I had a very significant problem with considering the fact he had so much shady dealings. And he had such a strange background, especially with the condo dealings as far as with the money from Soros and everything else. Very strange stuff. I am glad he's gotten that revoked. Wish they would have done this a long time ago. I personally, just in my opinion, I think he's been a mole in the White House. I think he's working double-sided. I think he's telling Trump what Trump wants to hear on some stuff, and he's turning around and doing other things that he shouldn't be doing. On top of that, he very well could be possibly feeding Trump disinformation as well. I don't know. I can't prove that. But there's some very strange things with that man that I do not agree with him being in that role. So I'm very glad to see that is done with him now. Also, too, I talked about it yesterday, as all the mainstream media has talked about how, you know, with the ICE agents and the sanctuary city status of California, and how basically with Trump's thing that he's done now, that just all these people in the United States that are law-abiding citizens or law-abiding illegals that are here illegally but they've never done anything wrong are going to be deported, blah, blah, blah. Well, the numbers have come out now from the operations that ICE has basically been conducting in California. They even said that last week, ICE confirmed they have already made 150 arrests across Northern California. They said the operation is a continuation of ICE's effort to prioritize enforcement for public safety threats. They said during a similar operation this month in Los Angeles, 88% of those arrested by ICE were illegal aliens that were convicted felons already that had come back to the United States. They said in the fiscal year of 2017 now, ICE arrested 20,201 illegal aliens throughout California. Of those, 81% were convicted criminals. So, lest you believe the mainstream media that the ICE agency is going after these little individuals and these guys that have come into the country illegally, but they're trying to operate a business, you know, and they're trying to work hard and they're trying to do this. No, we're seeing almost 90% of the individuals that they've arrested are convicted felons. So that's pretty clear evidence to me, Dad, that we're getting a lot of these guys out of the country. This was something that Obama tried his absolute hardest to bring into the country, all the way from these MS-13 gangs that I talked about yesterday at the end of the show, to all kinds of other gangs coming out of Mexico that we do not need here in the United States. And in my opinion, they were specifically allowed to come in here with extremely easy border options through Obama so they could destabilize and cause more ruckus and also distribute more of the dope through a lot of the gang systems that they have from Mexico into the United States and through other areas of the black ops that they've done. So I am glad to see that they're getting a lot of these guys out of the country, Deb.
Absolutely right. By the way, you know, several months ago when they came in and they basically shut our YouTube channel down, which I apologize to you guys for, but I couldn't do anything about it. I warned everybody several months ago. I said, they're cracking down, and they're going to crack down on everybody. Now, they happened to crack down on my show pretty quick because, you know, you guys know I don't play any games. Nobody's ever going to say that I'm a Mossad agent. Nobody's ever going to say that I'm working with Israeli secret intelligence. No one's ever going to say I'm working for the CIA or the FBI. Nobody's going to say any of that stuff because we hammer these people all of the time. I mean, we hammer everybody. I hammer Germany. We hammer Sweden. We hammer the government of the United States. I compliment Trump a lot more than I compliment anybody else because at least he's out there trying to do something. But the reality is that, you know, we knew this was going to happen. And now Jay Griffin says YouTube and Facebook are now purging truthers using conspiracy theories as the excuse. Yep. YouTuber Paul Romano documents the purging of Truth Community videos from YouTube. He says that many alternative media creators have been kicked off of Facebook because the controllers want to prevent people from questioning mainstream propaganda. Google is adjusting its search engine to make sure that certain words, like the name of a non-conforming website or commentator, are difficult to find or to show only negative comments when a search is made. Romano concludes that this is a sign that a major contrived event is planned, and the controllers do not want any coverage on the internet that questions the official narrative. In other words, he says something big is cooking, and they don't want us coming in and disclosing why in the world this is happening all over the country. Guys, this is so important that we continue to support alternative radio, alternative TV, because guys, these guys are gunning for us. They're gunning for all of the people out there that are out there telling the truth, especially the ones that won't compromise, who haven't been bought off by Mossad or CIA, or who aren't COINTELPRO, or who aren't basically doing things they should not be doing. And guys, you know, when certain people never talk about the Mossad, or they never talk about the Israeli secret intelligence, or they never talk about the immigration issues they have in Germany or Sweden or in England, or they don't talk about, you know, the fact that, you know, there are certain people in the White House like Kushner who've been linked to Shabbat. When they don't want to talk about all of this stuff, you kind of have to ask yourself a question like, why are they not talking about this stuff? I mean, it's pretty obvious what's going on. I mean, why is everybody kind of ignoring what a Sabbatean Kabbalist or Sabbatean Frankist is who run the Federal Reserve Bank? Why is nobody talking about the deep evil that's running and permeating this entire planet now, especially the United States, through the fiat Babylonian money system? I mean, guys, it's one of those things. A lot of people are ignoring what's very, very obvious in their face. Awesome. What's your next story, bud?
No, you're absolutely right. And that's one thing I want to touch on too today, because I've been getting all these emails from people that had been addressing this with YouTube and Facebook. And granted, there's one aspect of it is YouTube and Google are privately owned. So technically, they have the right to block this stuff. However, this was never the attitude that YouTube conveyed to the general population when this site first came about. The only thing they would ever block was extremely inappropriate material, just stuff that, I mean, in a normal, you know, civilized society is not appropriate. Stuff that they show on Live Leaks sometimes, you know, people getting killed, aspects of that. Other than that, YouTube pretty much let everything go up. Now they have literally turned into a full-blown censorship status. That's why I said all the time, I don't use Google anymore. I'll use DuckDuckGo or another search engine. I won't allow Google to track me and everything I do all the time. This is what they're doing now. They allow these platforms to get so big, they funded them on the back end of it with endless amounts of money, like they did with Facebook, with Zuckerberg, like they've done with all of this now, in order to get everybody accustomed to using these platforms. And Google bought out YouTube. Everything now. Facebook owns Instagram. They own all this stuff. This is what they've done. They've spread their tentacles into everything so they control every single aspect of alternative media and social media. So as soon as you say something that they don't agree with, he's bullying. That's what they've been using now with this David Hogg, complete and total garbage actor that they've been using. This little 17-year-old kid that lived in California all the way up until the end of last year and then somehow comes to Florida all of a sudden, enrolls in this school and becomes this constitutional expert in disarming the American population. He's on like every single news station now known to man. I mean, it boggles my mind. And now they're trying to say, well, if you say anything about Hogs, you're bullying. If you ask a question about why did he start school in Parkland in the fall? Why did he move to California, to Florida? Oh, you're bullying. If you say that he's pushing a gun agenda, you're bullying. And so they made these guidelines. And we talked about this, guys, a couple of years ago. I called it out 2 years ago. I said, YouTube is going to start full-blown censorship on everybody. And they've done it now. As soon as they came out with those guidelines that basically said anything that they deem to be offensive, anything that they deem to be unfactual, anything that does not essentially go with the mainstream narrative is what they implied, we're going to basically shut your account down, or we're going to ban it, or we're going to censor you. That was the end of it. We've gotten pulled off. Everybody's gotten pulled off. This is what they're doing now, guys. So don't be supporting these companies. Don't be supporting these websites. Don't use Google. Don't use YouTube. Don't use these sites that are continually trying to take away our First Amendment right, all under the guise of protection from fake news. After that, after the election with Trump and Hillary, we saw an unprecedented level of just pure hatred towards the alternative media. I mean hatred, just spite, envious hatred because of what the alternative media did with WikiLeaks and everything else, with waking up the American population to what a demonic witch Hillary Clinton was. We did that. I mean, all of us in alternative media, we exposed her for what she was. And after that, they said, we cannot allow this. We have to start calling these guys fake news. We have to start figuring out how to ban them. We cannot allow this stuff to continue to go on, because Trump was not supposed to be the president. We were supposed to have Hillary in there right now. We'd have already had probably another 500 gun laws on the book, and every single aspect of gun restriction would already been implemented on top of who knows what else you would have added in there. That's what they wanted, guys. And so we have to continually open up our eyes and our ears to what's going on. And like I said, vote with your dollars and your time. So I tell you, I don't shop at Starbucks. I don't support what they do. I don't like them. They don't get my money. Simple as that. Disney World, don't like them. I think they're a bunch of weirdos over there. Every time I've gone over there, I've had huge escalation confrontations with law enforcement and everything else about firearms. Don't go there. Don't support them. It's easy as that. Until it reaches a point to where you don't have that option, like you have to do something with a certain company, then you have to evaluate it. But I don't have to go to Starbucks. I don't have to use YouTube. I don't have to use Google. I sure as heck don't have to go to Disney. Disney World. So everybody has to start making those decisions now and not making those companies richer with your money, even though you don't agree with what they do. It's just simple as that. And, yeah, Dad, I mean, this is just something everybody has to start doing, because we can't just sit back and complain about it and go, well, I just don't like that company, but, you know, my kids want to go there and I want to do this, so I just go ahead and take them. No. Same with Beauty and the Beast. I told you guys, I'm not going to support that filthy movie. Bestiality and Satanism and everything else they're showing in that movie. I'm going to go see them and give them money. But yet, it was one of the highest grossing animated films of all time. Are you kidding me right now? And everybody just goes, well, my kids wanted to see it. No. Your kids didn't have to see it. They wanted to see it, and you capitulated and took it to them. You took them to it. That's your fault. Not my fault. That's your fault. So step back and evaluate this stuff and say, hey, if it's something that does not line up with my values, if it's not something that lines up with the Constitution, if it's not something that helps support the American Patriot movement, if it really is not anywhere in those lines of what I agree with and what I support, do I really need to support it with my time and or money, Dad?
Wow, Austin, that was a great rant. You're absolutely right. I didn't go see Beauty and the Beast. I mean, they got the big gay scene at the end of it. I mean, this is just indoctrination to the children. I mean, I'm going to say this again. When I saw that movie Fantasia for the first time back in the 60s, it was on TV and I was a little kid. I was like 8, 9 years old. It scared the yak out of me. I've never seen a big demon thing with wings flapping around like that. That was scary. That Fantasia, in fact, they had that thing over at MGM, and it was so scary. They had that same demon under a big float coming around. It so scared the little children. They were all screaming. They had to scale it back down. That's done on purpose, guys. Disney is not who and what you think it is. It is not, guys. I mean, and Austin's right. I mean, now they got metal detectors and everything else over there. I mean, I don't have any interest going through that mess anymore. You know, back, you know, 20 years ago when you go through the park and you actually, you know, carry a concealed weapon with you and you license to do so, you know, and so that way if you knew some nutbag starts shooting people at Disney World that you could actually defend you and your family. That's one thing. When you can carry a concealed permit, you have a permit, your concealed permit holder, you can legally do it. But guys, now, it's so restrictive as far as defending yourself. I just don't have any interest in going places that won't let me bring a gun. Just don't have any interest in it.
Yep.
Don't care. By the way, the Christian church leaders have closed the church at Jesus' burial site over Israeli taxation. This is nuts. There's a place called the Holy Sepulchre. I've been there. Austin's been there too. It's where here's the thing. A lot of people say there's the Garden Tomb where he was buried. Other people say it was here that he was buried, and they built the sepulchre on top of where he was buried. And it's kind of like a tourist attraction kind of thing. It's kind of like part of the church. I don't think we were charged to go in and see it. It was like a free thing to go in and see. It's one of the most holy sites of the Catholic Church and the Christian community. And now Israel decided they're going to tax the amount of the bank, the people that own this thing, or the church who owns it, or whoever's controlling it, $186 million. Just to pretty much stop going and seeing it. So the Christian leaders have decided to close the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, built where it is believed that Jesus was buried. The closing was in protest over a $186 million tax bill by the Israeli government. The municipal government of Jerusalem issued an order for the seizure of the church assets. I'm going to repeat that. The municipal government of Jerusalem issued an order for the seizure of church assets, including property and their bank accounts, for new taxes in the amount of $186 million, they say they are owed to the government. Church officials say it is an attempt to weaken the presence of Christians in Jerusalem, and that this church is a non-taxable, charitable group of people that's not supposed to be subject to taxes. So, it's saying it's an attempt to weaken the presence of Christians in Jerusalem. I mean, this is some crazy stuff that's going over there. Both Greek Orthodox and Roman Catholic representatives said they were blindsided by the Jerusalem municipality's recent decision to begin taxing them, and accused the mayor, Nir Bakrat, of disrupting a long-standing and fragile status quo. So now we have full-blown persecution of the Christians coming into Jerusalem who want to go to the Holy Sepulchre. And this is crazy. I mean, this is absolutely crazy. And this, remember we're giving these guys billions of dollars a year in foreign aid, and yet they're not willing to allow this to stay open. Both the church representatives said that Barak's hasty move threatened the relationship, and that the sudden taxes would jeopardize schools, health clinics, and other vital services for their local flocks.
both Caloris and Shavarib Gerban, the legal advisor of the Roman Catholic Church, custodian of the holy sites, said the churches were never formally notified of his decision and learned they were going to be taxed $186 million through the media. They're doing it just because they can. There's too many goyim running around in Jerusalem, so we got to cut back on the flock. There you go. I said it. I shouldn't have said it, but I did. Austin, what do you think about this?
That's pretty sad. I mean, it doesn't surprise me what they've done over there, but it's sad. I mean, it really is sad. But this is what they've continued to do. I mean, this is what they've done worldwide throughout history, is whenever they want to control the masses, if they get bad enough and they have to do the last-ditch resort, they just start taxing them unjustly. I mean, look what we just went through with Obamacare. I mean, they mandated in this country that if you didn't have health insurance, you basically were going to be fined a very significant amount of money that went up higher and higher every year, even if you were healthy. I mean, this is what they've always figured out how to do. This is why Jesus went into the temple and flipped over the money changer tables. I mean, one of the only times in his entire life he became physically and verbally irate. One of the only times. You don't read about Jesus doing that over and over and over again in the Bible, but that's how much he hates the unjust scales that they talked about back then, which is essentially the unjustified taxation, stealing people's money, not fairly adjusting scales, not doing what you're supposed to do, basically usury. And that's what all this is. It's usury in order to prevent the population from being able to do what they want to do freely, unmolested, on their way, or to push them in a specific direction in order to achieve your goal. That's usury, and that's what he hates, absolutely hates, to the point that he became irate in the temple over it. So that shows you how he feels about it. Also, too, in other news I wanted to touch base on, just since I was just going on a rant about companies that I don't support, another one that I got chalked to the list. Don't really ever shop there. We do have one down the road, but I've rarely ever gone there. Dick's Sporting Good has announced today that they will be no longer selling any semi-automatic rifles whatsoever, and they will now be proactively imposing an age requirement to purchase any firearm. The CEO told ABC today that you will need to be 21 to buy any firearm at Dick's Sporting Goods 700 stores around the country. They've already removed semi-automatic rifles from Dick's Sporting Goods after Sandy Hook, but they also now will be removing all of them from the Field and Stream stores that Dick's Sporting Goods owns all throughout the country now. So there will no longer be any semi-automatic rifles, and you will not even be able to buy a shotgun or a .22 in any store unless you are 21 years of age. So far, I haven't heard about any other of the sporting stores doing this. Bass Pro still has AR-15s, all that. When you see companies like this that capitulate this fast and immediately start doing it, that tells you right off the rip that they are full-blown, globalist-controlled company on the back end.
That's right.
Immediately, because
that's right.
They already know what the agenda was before it's happening. Guys, Dick's Sporting Goods didn't wake up this morning and say, well, we're just going to get rid of all the AR-15s, we're going to make it 21 to buy a gun. They didn't come up with that this morning. They already knew this beforehand, that these were the regulations that the states were going to try to be putting on its citizens, and they're already prepped to do so. Now they're doing it as an example of what they want to try to be. Oh, we're doing it for the good of the family. We're doing it for the good of the kids. There's absolutely no legitimate reason whatsoever for them doing this. So it's up to you guys. I don't suggest you go there anymore. I will not be shopping there. I will not even stop by there, support anything they have. If they're going to treat the citizens of this country like criminals simply for walking into a store and wanting to buy a fully legal, constitutionally legal firearm, they are no longer going to do so. And as bad enough is them removing them and saying, we're not going to carry AR-15s or any, you know, semi-automatic sporting rifles. That's bad enough. But, you know, you could chalk that up and say, well, maybe that's inventory control. Maybe the product doesn't sell good enough. Maybe they don't have enough margins. Okay. You can kind of justify it. Moving the age to buy any firearm, including shotguns or .22s, to 21 and up, that has nothing to do with inventory or margins or any type of finances control. That is full-blown government-controlled firearm removal from the population that the UN has made it so clear about. By 2030, they want to have full disarmament of all the countries that are in the UN Council. They've been very vocal about it. You can go on their website and look at that. So that's just another one to add to the list, I guess, now, Dad.
If I was the president of the United States, I would bring the military boys in, I would surround the United Nations, and I would have everybody clean all their junk out. I'd give them 72 hours to clean their junk out. And 72 hours later, I would have the whole building set up for the demo. And then the following day, I would demolish it. The entire building would go into a pound of powder. You know, pound the asphalt, the concrete, and it'd be gone. Just like they did 9/11 Building 7. It would just go away. They know how to do it. They proved that with Building 7. So we've got the ability to do that kind of stuff with these demolitions. And that whole building would go away. I would immediately get the United Nations out of the United States. And I would immediately stop and cease supporting anything with the United Nations, which is, of course, the growth out of the League of Nations, which, of course, is the whole group of people out there from, you know, gosh, it always goes back to these clowns, these Sabbatean Frankists, who wrote the Versailles Treaty with the help of Dulles. I mean, it's the Dulles brothers. And so the sad part about all of this stuff is, guys, they keep repeating the same stuff. The problem is the American population doesn't read history books, and so they don't understand what's going on. They got a real short life. They got a real short attention span. You know, and that's been programmed too, by the way. That's been programmed because of TV. You know, when I do TV shoots and I go to these big studios, they'll have like 6 cameras on us, and they're constantly changing cameras. You got a director in front of you. You guys don't sit in front of the camera very much, when, you know, as far as in these big studios, so you don't really know what I'm talking about. But they'll have 6 cameras, maybe 8 cameras with wide angle lenses. And there's big red lights on top of the cameras. And what they do is they have a director, and he's pointing you to which camera that you're basically talking to if you're looking into the camera. And sometimes they'll have 2 directors because they have so many cameras. And they'll put their hand up, they'll point at the camera, they want you to look at that camera, and they're constantly changing scenes. So it goes from wide angle to close angle, all the stuff, constantly. Watch the TV set. Watch the movies. 3-4 seconds, 10 seconds sometimes. Every once in a while you get a longer scene being done. Back in the old days, when you watched the movies from the 30s and the 40s and the 50s, sometimes they'd have a rant going on for 2-3 minutes. I mean, they do it in like one take or 20 takes, but it would go on and on and on with the same camera to the one person talking or moving around the room. They don't do that anymore. They've intentionally programmed your brain now to have super short attention spans, 2-4 seconds. If you watch a music video, it's constant like this. It's every 2-3 seconds, sometimes every 1 second. They're changing the screen. And the reason they do that is because they're programming your brain not to remember anything, because you're getting constant dopamine hits from all these screenshots. And so pretty soon you start thinking like that. You become kind of schizoid. And you can't concentrate because you got too much stuff going on all the time in your brain starts to process information that way, and you don't remember the last time they had a shooting a couple months ago and how it was the exact same shooting. Or you don't remember all of these pump and dump stock market tricks they've done in the last 30, 40 years, because you either weren't around or you don't remember them. Or if on top of everything else, if they can't do that to you, they'll dumb you down with statin drugs, or dumb you down with fluoride, or dumb you down with lithium. I mean, that's what they do. Or dumb you down with tricyclic antidepressants or serotonin reuptake inhibitors. Keep dumbing you down, so you're compliant, so that you're passive, so that you're basically infertile, and just basically you sit around in a stupor drooling on yourself, munching on your MSG potato chips and drinking your soda, diet soda, which isn't giving more dopamine triggers. The vast majority of the population of this country is very, 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 very sick. And they simply don't want to change their diet because they don't know they need to change their diet. And if someone says to them, hey, you can change your diet and feel healthier, they immediately hear from the mainstream news. Fake news, fake news, fake news. That's fake.
Yep.
You can't eat, get healthy, can't do it, fake news. And I mean, I've dealt with this. I mean, I told you what happened to me with those guys on WCIE and Carpenter's Home Church 30 years ago, when I got dragged before the doggone people in the back green room at Carpenter's Home Church and chewed out because I said diet could affect your health and make you healthy if you eat healthy foods. I mean, unbelievable. Fake news, fake news. We won't have you on the TV or on the radio giving out fake news. I said, guys, if you weigh 400 pounds and you're on 15 prescription meds because you're obese and you got heart disease, diabetes, and cancer because you're obese and you're not taking care of yourself, maybe diet would help. Nothing else has helped. Maybe you lose some weight. Oh, never mind. It won't make a bit of difference. And I'm like, oh, man, you guys are that stupid. And this was back in the 80s. But, guys, they don't want you to believe that there are natural treatment protocols for high blood pressure or natural treatment protocols for having healthy blood sugar, or natural treatment protocols for, like Katie Whalen did, working with her doctor out in California and over in Colorado on getting rid of cancer without chemotherapy, radiation, and surgery. They don't want you to know that any of those things are possibilities. By the way, change topic. Italy, 2018 elections will shape the future of the European Union and mass immigration. Italy is being completely bombarded because, remember, it's a peninsula,
with immigrants. I mean, coming in from all over the place. I mean, they dump them off at shore. They sink their boats from the Mediterranean, 1,000 yards offshore. They got to rescue them and bring them in, or they're all going to drown. A new poll suggests that Italy would vote to leave the EU if given a chance. The country is $2.7 trillion in debt and struggles with high unemployment due to the massive, massive immigrant influx, and has very low growth. It's terrible. Its banks are in such bad shape. They're holding $220 billion in bad loans. Italy has a population of nearly 61 million people. Since 2014, has absorbed more than 600,000 more immigrants. By the way, these numbers are low. It's probably 6 million immigrants, many from hostile cultures. This has led to a rise in right-wing politics and promises to end the EU's migration policies and to deport migrants. Violent crime has been a hallmark of the forced immigration policy, which hit a tipping point when 18-year-old Pamela Mastriipio was killed by Nigerian migrants and may have been cannibalized by these same migrants. In response, Lucy Trinini went on a shooting spree openly targeting black people, and he is being lauded as a hero. The stage is set for violent change and possibly martial law, which is a globalist endgame. Now, let me tell you my story. I haven't told you the story. Several years ago, I was driving around over in Germany and in Switzerland and in Austria and in Italy, and I had a car. And I was driving around in the car. It was a nice car. I mean, I got a nice car for the trip. And, you know, so we were driving around, and we drove down to Rome. And we were going to drive down to Naples the following day, down there where Pompeii is and Mount Vesuvius and all that, because it's real close to Rome. It's only a few-hour drive. And I had no less than 20 people tell me that if I took that car down to Naples because of the organized crime and because of the migrants that had come in, you know, a lot of them out of Russia and, you know, out of Romania and the Russian mafia and all these different mafias in Italy, that the car would never make it out of the area. It would never make it out of there, out of Naples. And I said, you guys, I mean, after about 18 people, you start listening. And I said, what they do is, if you, let's say you go over there and you rent a Mercedes E-Class, or you get a BMW 5 Series, and you drive it to these areas. Some of the rental car companies over there say that you can't even do that. You can't even drive into these areas with these cars. They said that what you do and what they do is they'll stand on the roof if they see a Mercedes S-Class or E-Class or a 5 Series BMW come driving down the highway. They'll flag it with their radio. They'll be on a rooftop and they'll spot it. And once it gets to a certain area, if it gets parked, it gets jacked immediately. If you don't stop, they'll stop you and by gunpoint make you and your family get out of the car. You leave your suitcases in the car. If your children aren't being abducted into sex slave business, they may let you keep them. And the car doesn't come back. It goes away. I mean, this is how bad it is. I remember a few years ago, I had a friend of mine who went to Germany, and he picked up a Mercedes here. He ordered it here and picked it up in Germany for the European delivery program so he could drive around and basically save some money on the car rental and drive on the Autobahn because he liked to drive fast. And what ended up happening is, you know, he was told by Mercedes that there's like multiple drop-off locations in Europe, but Italy, vehicles cannot be dropped off in Italy at all. And there were multiple countries, especially in the Eastern European bloc, that had no drop-off points because they said, if the car is dropped off in Italy, we never see the car again. It doesn't even stay. It just goes away. And so Mercedes refused to let my friend drop the car off because he was going to go down to Rome and all that. I said, no, you can't even drop it. You got to bring it back to some place that's not going to steal it, either in Switzerland or Austria or Paris or London or a bunch of places in Germany. But you can't leave it down there because if you drop that car off down there, it will never ever make it home to you simply because it won't make it home anywhere. It'll be in a chop shop or have the doggone VIN numbers changed within hours. And so that's what's going on in Italy right now. And now it's gotten much, much worse because of the organized crime people that are coming in from other countries. And now we have cannibals coming in and eating people in Italy. And now they want to go, well, we've had enough of this. Get us out of the EU. When Italy had the Italian lira, their economy was booming. It was booming. And the banks were doing good. The real estate was doing good. You could buy a decent pair of shoes for $20, $30, $40, a nice pair of shoes. Now that same pair of shoes is $200. I've talked to so many people over there who speak English, and they say their entire economy is completely collapsed because of the EU and trying to maintain the dollar requirements, the euro requirements, and the debt requirements and the ratio requirements based upon the European Union, which they say is impossible for them to do because they're not an industrial powerhouse. So, guys, it's a major, major mess. And I got a feeling if a lot of people had a chance to leave the EU right now, they'd bail out, Austin, just because of the immigration mess. What do you think?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, the sad part about this was back in 2015 when we first started the show, when the immigration just influx started, the massive invasion, essentially, is what it was, the migrant invasion into all these countries. We called this. I said, this is going to start happening. You give it a couple years, this is going to start happening. All these countries were, oh, we want to support these Middle Eastern countries. We want to bring these people in, bring them in by the millions, which they've done now. And you see how it's worked out for them. So now there's multiple countries that are so dangerous, so wrecked, so migrant infested that you literally can't really even live in them anymore. They've taken over huge swaths of France, huge swaths of Italy, to the point, like you said, there's no-go zones. You literally don't go there. What do you mean I can't go there? Just don't go there. Take my word for it. Don't go there. You and your vehicle won't come back. It's a pretty strong statement. Like that said, when you start having, you know, a dozen people tell you that, you get to the point where you're like, maybe I need to heed that warning. Maybe I don't need to go there. It's probably just a good idea. So, yeah, also, too, in other news, remember last month or about 2 months ago, I talked about how California court had ruled that glyphosate sold in the state of California was now going to have big cancer warnings on it because the research that they've done now with the rats and everything else. And they said, you know, basically, if it's sold in this state, even after Proposition 65, it doesn't matter, you're still going to have to put blatantly on there, this product contains glyphosate and it's been linked to cancer. Well, of course, as I was afraid, Monsanto and their multi-billion-dollar satanic agenda that they've pushed have gotten to one of the top judges. Now, a federal judge yesterday has now halted California's plan to require Monsanto to place warning labels on its Roundup products, stating that scientists have not shown clear enough connection now between glyphosate and cancer. U.S. District Judge William Shoup sided with the St. Louis-based chemical giant in its First Amendment lawsuit, ruling that warning labels, which would have been required as of this July, would maybe confuse and mislead the customers. This boggles my mind. He said, the required warnings for glyphosate do not appear to be factually accurate and uncontroversial because it conveys the message that glyphosate's carcinogenic activity is an undisputed fact, when almost all other regulators have concluded there's not evidence at all that it causes cancer. This is crazy. He said Monsanto sued the state of California in November 2017 in response to the California's Office of the Environmental Health Hazard Decision that designated glyphosate as carcinogen and cancerous and required warnings on retail products. So everything is now stopped in California. Glyphosate will still not have to have warning labels required on it. This right here is a perfect example. This federal district judge, William Shubb, S-H-U-B-B, this is a perfect example of what Dad was talking about yesterday. How we have got these judges in the systems now that are full-blown globalist candidates, and they do whatever they're told to do whenever
That's
they're told
right.
to do so because of their background, because of blackmail, whatever the reason be, they are do-boys. Most of the time, just incidental stuff, they get to do what they want. They really don't care. Okay, do this, do that, do this, I'll rule this. But when it comes down to it, you got a meeting with this William Shubb. Yeah, bud, this is an issue. See, Monsanto can't have their products saying they cause cancer. We all know they cause cancer. We actually know they're one of the most toxic compounds known to man that we spray on plants for edible usage. But it doesn't matter. We can't let anybody know that. If we know that and we put it on the can, we no longer have that plausible deniability of saying, well, we don't really think it causes cancer. It could, but it probably doesn't. You're stating that it actually does, and we can't have the public knowing the truth, so you're going to have to take the reins on this, and you're going to have to shut it down. And if you don't, well, you already know what's going to happen if you don't do it. I don't even have to tell you that, so just make sure it happens. And the judge goes, okay, it's done. Now, is that exactly how the conversation went? No, I'm totally speculating. I wasn't there. I wish I would have heard it, but I wasn't. But I can almost guarantee you that's exactly how all this works, because there is no legitimate reason after literally the hundreds of research studies on rats, on pigs, on humans, on multiple test subjects, that glyphosate should be anything less than a full-blown warning label that this product is linked to cancer whatsoever, Dad. And the fact that this stuff was about to get labeled in California, I was extremely excited about it. I even talked about it on the show. And now, as we have seen, bam. Halt again, not going to do it, not going to allow it from a federal judge, Dad. That doesn't surprise me with Monsanto and how much dirt they seem like they have on everybody, but it really was disappointing because that was going to be a big win for us against Monsanto. Unfortunately, it doesn't look like it now.
Gary Null came out with an article several years ago now. I've quoted it many times on the show in which it talked about using the Freedom of Information Act. They actually got Monsanto to release literally tens of thousands of pages of their own research about glyphosate. And it proved conclusively from this research that it increased like 12 different types of cancers in humans. I mean, it was unbelievably poisonous and cancer-causing. And so the problem is that they know this, and the people, and the judge knows this. It's like you said, Austin. He's a new boy. He's doing what he's been told. I mean, he's another one of these federal court judges, basically, that basically is part of the federal society, I'm sure, that basically handpicked. I talked about this in detail yesterday, if you guys have listened to yesterday's show. By the way, this is an interesting little article. This is by Pam Martins, and it says, $1.8 trillion in new Treasury debt will hit the bond markets this fall. Investors have been whiplashed so far this week, and it's only Wednesday morning. On Monday, the Dow rocketed ahead by 399 points. On Tuesday, it plunged by 299 points. What changed investors' sentiment so dramatically in 24 hours? Well, besides flash trading. David Stockman, the former director of the Office of the Management of Budget under President Reagan, appeared on CNBC on Wednesday to size up the situation, commenting on the new chairman of the Federal Reserve, Jerome Powell, who gave testimony for the first time in his new role before the House Financial Services Committee yesterday. Stockman said he thinks Powell is missing three giant skunks sitting on the woodpile. The biggest skunk, according to Stockman, is an epic monetary fiscal collision that Stockman says has not been seen before. Stockman explained that starting this October, which begins the federal government's fiscal 2019, the government is going to borrow $1.2 trillion. Stockman called this an astronomical number, given that the U.S. is 10 years into an expansion. At the same time, Stockman says the Federal Reserve has pivoted to quantitative tightening and will be dumping $600 billion of U.S. bonds into the market at the same time as the government is dumping up its debt. The Federal Reserve began trimming back its purchases of Treasury bonds in October of last year in order to normalize its bloated balance sheets. The Fed's $600 billion combined with the $1.2 trillion from the government means that $1.8 trillion in treasuries will be looking for a new home in fiscal 2019, said Stockman. This leads Stockman to believe that the market simply can't clear all of that debt anywhere on the planet near the 2.9% interest rate at which the 10-year treasury has been trading. He says there's going to be a monumental yield shock that will take 10-year treasury bonds to 3 to 4% and probably overshoot beyond that. So he says when this happens, the bond market's basically going to collapse. The treasury market's going to collapse. Everything's going to collapse. Now, whether that happens or not, I don't know. Now, what the Fed has been doing, which is crazy, a lot of times they'll put these bonds up for sale, these treasuries up for sale, and nobody buys them now. Nobody shows up. And they've been either selling them to other central banks that are owned by the Rothschilds or by the Bank of International Settlements, which is owned by the Rothschilds, or basically the Rothschild banks will buy them themselves and basically prop up their own currency, kind of like banana republics do where they buy their own debt back. So this is a major, major problem. And the thing about it, all of this is this. The United States, because of our Constitution, doesn't have to do any of this. It doesn't have to have debt. If it needed $1.2 trillion for the budget for the fiscal year or whatever, it has the right, according to Congress, to print that money debt-free. That's the problem that we have with this Federal Reserve fiasco that we've developed. And now all of this debt is hitting the markets all at once in October, so it's going to be an interesting fall as far as from a reckoning standpoint. Guys, I want to thank you so much for supporting Health Masters. Thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thank you for just being here. Thank you for just being our friends. Thank you for praying for us. I pray for you guys every day. I appreciate you so much. And just thank you for just continuing to lift us up. Because, guys, the alternative market is getting ransacked right now as far as the alternative news market. And quite frankly, it's not going to get any better. And all of us have to work together and pull together. I love you guys, and I appreciate you. I'll do the write-up, Austin. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Got it. Absolutely, man. Yes, guys, we appreciate everything. One last news story that I saw. This is pretty disturbing out in Texas now. A transgender male wrestler has now won her second straight Texas girls 110-pound division title on Sunday. Matt Beggs is an 18-year-old senior at Ulysses Trinity High School in Arlington, Texas. She basically was born a female, but now identifies as a male. So she's a technically a gender, she's a female. She's a true female, but she identifies as a male. Well, so far, people really didn't like the fact that she's been competing and winning. However, she was still a female, and they made her compete in the female league. She wanted to wrestle the boys, but they said they must compete in the gender division that corresponds to their birth certificate. Well, now it has come out that for the last 3 years, she's been on testosterone injections provided by her doctor since freshman year. She's been allowed to take testosterone, even though the state and UIL rules prohibit their use by high school athletes, because she has had dispensed, prescribed, delivered, and administered by a medical practitioner for a valid medical purpose because she wants to turn into a boy. Beggs has compiled a 132-9 record over the last three seasons, however, has not left a match in the last 2 years since being on testosterone injections. This is pretty sad because all these girls have not had a fair advantage. You got a female now taking 200 to 300 milligrams a week of testosterone injections to basically make her a male. She's going to have significantly more strength than everybody in her 110-pound class. That's sad to me that they've allowed this to go on. But again, it shows you the level of lunacy that this transgender agenda has pushed onto the American population in such conflicting situations. It has put a lot of us in, especially even the ones in the school system now. So, just, yeah, interesting story. I thought I'd bring that up. But if you guys need anything, as I said before, healthmasters.com. We have the beet juice powder, organic non-GMO beet juice powder is on the sale on the website, over 10% off or right at 10% off. Really great formula, really good product for blood pressure, energy, cleaning out the liver. So get that if you want to get it. Definitely, it's been out of stock for a while, so we do have it back in stock. And also be sure to vote for any of the other products of the week that you want to win next week. So we support everything. Thank you for the help, guys. Thank you for everything you do and the emails that you send us on a regular basis. And if you guys need anything, as always, like I said, give us a call, 1-800-726-1834, or you can check out our website at healthmasters.com. Be sure to check out any of the kits or specials or three-pack specials we have on sale right now on the website. So let us know if you need anything. We appreciate you. We love you guys, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.